I'll make my confession first. I call myself a paranoid agnostic. I'm simultaneously afraid there is a God and there isn't.
Well, I call myself a spiritual atheist.
Okay, I like that.
It is almost as good as your paranoid agnostic.
It is. So what does it mean to you?
I'm an atheist in the usual sense of the word, and that is that I, you know, using the best evidence that I can gather, you know, both emotional and physical evidence, I seriously doubt the existence of a supreme being or an intelligence that created the universe and guides the universe. But the reason why I append the word spiritual to that is because I feel like I'm a very spiritual person. And now you're going to ask me to define what that means.
Yeah, I am.
What I mean by spiritual is that I believe that there are things larger than myself, that I have certain values that I live by, that I believe in living by the golden rule, for example. I am very sensitive to the beauty and nature, and those are some of the qualities that I try to make part of my life that make me call myself a spiritual person.
Let's talk about Mr. G, because it's a book about the start of everything. Is that fair to say?
I would say that's fair to say.
Where on earth did that come up for you?
I've always loved the magic realist writers like Vitale Calvino and Mikhail Bulgakov and Gabriel Garcia Marquez. I love fantasies that have real people in them and have real situations that we can relate to, but distort reality. I like the idea of playing with the intersection of science and religion by having a God who lives in the void with his aunt and uncle, but when he decides to create the universe, he does so exactly according to the laws of science as we understand them on Earth. So that seemed amusing to me to sort of have it both ways. And I love creation stories because I think they reveal a lot about who we are and what we wish we were. So all of those things sort of tantalized me.
There's a lot of fun physics stuff just kind of slipped in, like the shape of the universe, which has always been described to me by physicists as kind of saddle-shaped. But in this case, he actually pinches the universe, which starts off round in the middle, so it looks like a saddle, but it's just so he can identify it from all the others.
Which way? There's so many going around.
Yeah.
And quantum physics really doesn't play much of a role in the book. I mean, I know we're all fans of quantum physics, but it's just touched on very, very briefly. I really hope that a reader would not have to know any science whatsoever to read and enjoy this book. I mean, I would be disappointed if I thought you had to have a background in science to read this, because I try to be.
I don't, absolutely not necessary.
Yeah, I try to be very light with the science, but of course, if God is going to create the universe, there's got to be a little science in there somewhere, because we know that the universe behaves more or less regularly and more or less rationally, except where people are concerned.
I like at one point he creates a universe that violates the second law of thermodynamics, and it promptly winks out of existence. It's like, that's funny.
Yes.
Mr. G lives with his aunt and uncle. Tell me about the two of them, because they're pretty amusing.
Well, I realized early on in thinking about the book that there would have to be other characters for Mr. G to relate to, because otherwise you'd just be getting his thoughts, and that would be pretty dull after a while. So I thought it would be amusing to have an aunt and an uncle. Of course, his aunt and uncle are always squabbling, and they're always giving him advice. That serves for some comic relief, and it also helps bring out his character a little bit, the character of God. It's hard for me to spit those words out.
Yeah, sorry.
It's a little grand, but actually, in writing the book, every fiction writer tries to inhabit the bodies and minds of his characters. In this case, I was trying to inhabit the mind of God. And
pretty big shoes.
Well, for the first couple of months, I was scared out of my wits, and then I started getting into it, and I started enjoying having that incredible power to just create things here and there at my whim. So I got used to it.
There is an aspect to being a writer that is very godlike, because
you can create characters, scenes.
You create a whole universe sometimes for your characters to live in.
And right.
And they're subject to your every whim.
Yes. Yeah, every writer is a god in that sense.
He actually makes a conscientious decision to not create, just, he's going to create inanimate matter, but then it starts behaving in odd ways, which when you go through the physics / chemistry of it, it's like, yeah, of course that one, of course, yeah, and that would happen too, and that would happen, and pretty soon there's a protozoa, and it's like, oops,
that's
I
right.
know where this ends.
Right.
And it's fun to see Mr. G kind of go through the same, oh.
He's surprised.
Didn't expect that. I'm omniscient, but I guess I just never bothered to think about that.
That's right, yeah. He's surprised by some of the outcomes of his creation, which was another fun thing for me to do, to create that kind of god who doesn't always predict the outcome of everything. So he has some anthropomorphic qualities.
The book is Mr. G. I've been speaking with the author, Alan Lightman, and Mr. G, the novel, is published by Pantheon, distributed in Canada by Random House.